I want to talk to you about God using ordinary people this Christmas. In Genesis 37:15, there is one ordinary person, a man, who found Joseph wandering in the field and directed him to where he could find his brothers. And this ordinary, unnamed man changed history. Joseph is the youngest son of Jacob and the son of Rachel, Jacob's favorite and best-loved wife. Joseph is the son of Jacob's old age, and Jacob showed his love for him above his brothers by giving him a coat of many colors. And because his father loved him above the others, Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. One day, when Joseph's brothers were out caring for the sheep, finding new pasture for them, a long way from home, Jacob, the father, asked Joseph to go out to make sure everything is all right with the brothers. At first, Joseph cannot find them, but he meets a man in the field who asks him, "What are you looking for?" Joseph tells him that he is looking for his brothers. The man says, "Yes, I heard them say, let's go to Dothan. That is a nearby city." Joseph then went to Dothan and finds his brothers. And when they see Joseph, they turn into a fit of jealous rage, and they decide to sell him to a passing caravan as a slave. Joseph is taken by this caravan as a slave to Egypt, where, through a series of unbelievable circumstances, Joseph the slave becomes Pharaoh's chief minister, guiding Egypt through a famine. It's a miraculous story. His father and his brothers have no food in Israel, so the father Jacob sends the brothers to Egypt to buy food, and they find that the brother they sold to be a slave is now second in command of all Egypt and is in charge of the food. You have probably heard this story many times, and it is to be found in Genesis chapter 37, then 39 to 50. But right now, I want to focus on the man in the field who asked Joseph, "What are you looking for?" And then he told Joseph where to find his brothers. In the whole incredible story of Joseph, this man in the field seems such a minor character. But there are no superfluous characters in the Bible. And probably when you have read this story in the Bible, you haven't even noticed this man. So why am I bringing him to your attention? What is the significance of this man whom Joseph meets? Without question, this insignificant man is sent by God to make sure that Joseph would find his brothers and fulfill his destiny. If Joseph had not encountered this man, he would not have known that his brothers had moved from their usual place where they would pasture the sheep. He would have had no idea where to find them and would have turned around and gone home. Maybe Joseph, knowing his brothers were jealous of him, might have even used this as an excuse to avoid them. Yes, if Joseph had not met the man who told him where his brothers were, Joseph would not have been taken by his brothers and sold to a caravan headed for Egypt. Pharaoh would never have had Joseph's advice, which made Egypt the only place in all the Middle East with abundant grain during the famine. Jacob's family would never have had the opportunity to migrate to Egypt. The Israelite people would never have been enslaved. There would never have been a Moses, no Exodus, no Ten Commandments. Biblical history would have been radically different if Joseph had not met the insignificant man who directed him to his brothers. I wonder, did the man in the field ever remember meeting a teenage boy who couldn't find his brothers and having a one-sentence conversation with him? And if he did remember, could he possibly imagine that one-sentence conversation would change history? The question, can one ordinary person really change things is answered here in the life of this one man. Can we, in our insignificance, affect history? Rarely can people affect history alone, but some do. It's hard to make a difference alone, but working together, dedicated to goodness, we can change the world. We can matter. But while we may need to work together to change the world, nevertheless, every one life touches many other lives, and rare is the person who knows how much of a difference he or she has made. If only this one man in Genesis 37:15, who finds a teenage boy in a field and shows him the right direction to go, could have known that this boy's family would find food in a famine, and that one day the Israelite people would produce a Moses, the Ten Commandments, and the Exodus story, all because this man in the field showed the boy the way to his brothers. The question, can one ordinary person really change things, is answered here. It is the question that I have been grappling with for the future of Every Home for Christ. Is Every Home for Christ to be dependent on an Eric Leach to teach schools of prayer, write letters, and prepare World Watcher tapes? Is Every Home for Christ dependent on an international president, Dr. Dick Eastman? Or can ordinary men and women, or teenagers, or even younger, Every Home for Christ supporters who never have their name in the EHC newsletter, can they, like the man in the field, that we never really noticed as we read the story in the Bible, can they really change things for God? Now, you are about to be amazed. The reason for the Christmas stocking, as presented in the newsletter you have just received, is to put in the hands of Every Home for Christ supporters a tool to enable them to change things, to make a difference in the lives of multitudes in Africa, to do something significant for God in feeding the world's hungry people, both with physical and spiritual food. A Christmas stocking. It's strange, I know, but together we can change the world for millions in Africa by collecting coins. It's kind of a fun idea, a Christmas stocking. In this Christmas stocking, you can collect gifts for others, coins that won't cost you much, but will make an incredible difference in the world. This is probably the most significant thing we can do this Christmas with the greatest potential and cost everyone so little. Together, we can feed the starving. Like the man in the Genesis story, you may not witness the incredible results, but there will be an incredible result. Like the thousands of people we fed last year through the gifts given for the Malawi famine, and the 1,500 farmers who were trained to more effectively grow crops, and the amazing 150 Bible study groups formed by the farmers spontaneously, and the village chiefs who easily opened the doors for us, for Every Home for Christ workers to go in and tell the gospel. This Christmas stocking is a tool everyone can use to make a difference in the world. Even the most insignificant person can take a Christmas stocking and fill it with coins. It's fun for young and old alike. It's a Christmas stocking after all, and we can use it to collect gifts for others. It's so simple, and yet it can be miraculous. It's a little like Jesus took the 5 loaves and a few fishes from a little boy and turned them into an incredible miracle. Jesus said, "When you feed the hungry and thirsty people, you are feeding me," as Matthew 25:35-40 puts it. Jesus said, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat." I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. But Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Jesus said, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. Our blessing will be the real satisfaction of feeding the multitudes with a few loaves and fishes, and feeding the hungry and thirsty like we would feed Jesus. This is the satisfaction of doing something good for people who will not experience good without you. May God guide you.